Praise God. We'll survive. Thank you. Praise God. Amen to that. Shall we pray? Father God, we thank you for this morning, O God, even as we've gathered here in your name. Lord, we thank you for it's only your name that will be glorified. Lord, even as we've sang praises unto you, we've lifted up your name, and it's all about you. It's been all about you. And we just pray, Lord, even the rest of the service is all about you. Lord, even as I share from your word, I just pray that, Lord, the hearts of the people will be receptive, that, Lord, I would share only those things that you want them to hear this morning. And that, Lord, even when all of us leave this place, that we will be glorified. You will be glorified and our hearts to be edified and lifted up even closer to you to do your will. We give you thanks and we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Can I just please get us to turn in our Bibles to Genesis chapter 13. And I took Brother Peter's advice. The version of my Bible actually says giant print. I've come to that stage in my life where I'm beginning to need glasses. But every time I put on my glasses, my kids always laugh at me. So what's the solution to that? Get a giant print Bible. They say I look funny. I don't put it on my nose properly. Then I'm like, okay, it's okay. Let's just make it easy. Get a giant print Bible or enlarge the font when you're using your iPad. And that settles it. Amen. Are we all there? Okay, let's start from verse 1 to 18. Then Abraham went up from Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him to the south. Abraham was very rich in livestock, in silver and in gold. And he went on his journey from the south as far as Bethel, to the place where his tent had been at the beginning between Bethel and Ai, to the place of the altar which he had made there at first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. Lot also, who went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. Now the land was not able to support them, that they might dwell together, for their possessions were so great that they could not dwell together. And there was strife between the herdsmen of Abraham's livestock and the herdsmen of Lot's livestock. The Canaanites and the Perizzites then dwelt in the land. So Abraham said to Lot, please let there be no strife between you and me, and between my herdsmen and your herdsmen, for we are brethren. Is not the whole land before you? Please separate from me if you take the left, then I will go to the right, and if you go to the right, then I will go to the left. And Lot lifted his eyes and saw all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt as you go towards Zoar. Then Lot chose for himself all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated from each other. Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent even as far as Sodom. But the men of Sodom were exceedingly wicked and sinful against the Lord. And the Lord said to Abram, after Lot had separated from him, lift your eyes now and look from the place where you are, northward, southward, eastward, and westward. For all the land which you see, I give to you and your descendants forever. And I will make your descendants as the dust of the earth, so that if a man could number the dust of the earth, then your descendants also could be numbered. Arise, walk in the land through its length and its width, for I give it to you. Then Abraham moved his tent and went and dwelt by the terebinth trees of Mamre, which are in Hebron, and built an altar there to the Lord. Now this story we've just read here is about Abraham and Lot. And from the account here, we see where Abraham had been blessed so much, I mean richly by God. He had so much livestock, and Lot, who had actually hung out with him, had been blessed a lot by God as well. And they had come to a place where the Bible says they were in, the Canaanites and the Perizzites. And I guess they didn't have enough land to contain the two lots of herds or livestock that they both had. And there was this contention between Lot's herdsmen and Abraham's herdsmen. And they now had to part. amicably. And of course, the mature one, the mature person out of the two was Abraham. And he came and said, look, we're brothers, we're brethren, as they would say it in the Bible. You know, if you follow American culture, that would have probably said, we're tight, we're friends, we're together. And because of this strife, rather than us getting to even more sour instances or sour situation, we're going to have to part ways. And, you know, Abraham said, if you go left, I'll go right. If you go right, I'll go left. Basically, I don't want to be wherever you are. I mean, that's the way it came out, if you understand what it says in the Bible. Now, the background of this story is, if you go to, let us quickly turn to Genesis chapter 11, please. Lot was Abraham's nephew, which means Abraham's brother. But we read in the Bible, if you go to Genesis chapter 11, verse 27 to 28. It says, this is the genealogy of Terah. Terah begot Abraham, Nahor, and Haran. And Haran begot Lot. And Haran died before his father Terah in his native land in the Ur of the Chaldeans. Which means, from that account, it says that Lot had lost his father probably earlier on in life, because he says Haran, his father, died before his own father, Terah. So Terah was, of course, the grandfather of Lot, who was the father of Abraham. So Abraham was Lot's uncle and Lot was Abraham's nephew. Okay? For those of us who always question why there's so many begats and begottens in the Bible and what are they there for, this is an instance where it even explains what had happened. Now, it so happened that Terah also then left Ur of the Chaldeans. I think maybe God had instructed him to leave or something like that. That's not what it says, but he left Ur of the Chaldeans and he took Haran's son and he took Abraham and Sarah with him when he left Ur of the Chaldeans, and he dwelt there for a while. Then, of course, the Lord now spoke to Abraham. God forgive me. Abraham. In chapter 12, and we're going to read that as well, from verse 1 to 5. Now the Lord said to Abraham, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. And Abraham was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Then Abraham took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their possessions that they had gathered, and the people whom they had acquired in Haran, and they departed to go to the land of Canaan. So they came to the land of Canaan. Now basically we see here what God had appeared to Abraham and had commanded him specifically. The Lord had said to Abraham in verse 1, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. Now, this is some Bible scholars would argue one way, some people would say the other way. But I guess because of the goodness of Abraham's heart, he had been told to leave his country, his family, and his father's house. Is Lot considered a member of his family or not? Which family? His own immediate family or his extended family? Extended family. Yeah. So in a way, it looks like, and I at this position I'm going to keep and stand on for this sharing that I'm doing here, that Lot, in a way, was not supposed to be part of that family that Abraham was supposed to leave. As in, he wasn't supposed to go with Abraham. Are we agreeing on that point? You know, I mean, I look at this instance and I know I come from a very African background where sometimes there's no family lines. You know, I've shared this before that, like, for instance, I'm married to Dolly, and the minute I get married to Dolly, everything about Dolly's family becomes my family. I'll give you an example. For instance, if my wife's brother's wife's sister, okay, That means Dolly's brother's wife's sister is getting married or has had a baby or is doing something significantly large, and I'm not invited, I have a right to be offended. And of course, it even turns the other way. I shouldn't even be getting invited. I should just show up because I'm family. I tell you, I remember when I first moved to Singapore, I don't know if I've shared this before, and I went for a wedding. It was a member of our worship ministry in the church I was attending at that time. And they were having a wedding dinner, and only selected few were invited to the wedding dinner. And there was this particular guy who was invited, but his wife was not invited. I thought, who does that? How can you invite the guy and not invite his wife? I mean, that's what weddings are all about. It's family. Because the girl was not part of the worship ministry, but the guy was, and I thought, oh my goodness, that if you did that in Africa, they would call the king and the chiefs and everybody, and there would be a big issue about how could you ever do that? How could you even, I mean, there's no such thing as invitations. There's always a plus one or plus two or in African culture. So I can see where Abraham was struggling with this. And I guess he had an obligation to look after his late brother's son, Lot. And I believe strongly that he probably took him onto himself as his own son. But in a way, he was disobeying God's command when God told him, leave your country, your family, and your father's house. It could be that Abraham could have actually adopted Lot. We don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us that. And I'm not going to say what is not in the Bible. I mean, you see all sorts of books and writings and scholars saying all sorts of funny things, but I don't know. It's not in the Bible, so I'm not going to say what is not there. But Lot was taken along with Abraham, even though the promise stated that he was to leave his father's house and his family. And, you know, if you read on in the following verses and stuff like that, there was a time when there was a famine in the land of Canaan, and Abraham also left there and went to Egypt during the time of the famine. And Lot, it didn't say that Lot actually went in with him, but when the famine was over and he was coming out of Egypt, this Bible says that Lot came out with him as well. So of course, if he came out with him, that means he must have gone in with him. Amen? Then they now move out of the land of Egypt, and then they get to this place where we read in chapter 13, where it says things now started getting out of hand because there was not enough room for them. Now, that was just the introduction of my message, and I hope we'll finish before dinner time, but we'll see how we go. It's interesting that Lot may not have been in the master plan that God had given to Abraham. Are you with me? And we could see now that when basically anybody who was associated with Abraham was going to be blessed because of the blessings that God had bestowed on Abraham. And Lot happened to be with him, and he was also blessed. It's interesting that they had livestock. Lot had his own, and Abraham had his own as well. And that was now becoming a bone of contention because the Lord had blessed them immensely. And it says so clearly in, I think it's verse 6. Yeah, now the land was not able to support them that they might dwell together, for their possessions were so great that they could not dwell together. I mean, can you imagine possessions being so great? I mean, I can't just sit down and start fathoming how much livestock or cattle, and then they had herdsmen and they had people working for them, and it was so big that they couldn't just dwell together anymore. And that shows you indeed that God is a very faithful God, and he had blessed them immensely. He had blessed them with so much livestock and cattle and sheep and whatever it is. And even if you read in other parts of the same, in like chapter 12, and even when they have appeared in Egypt, that God blessed them even when they were there. And even though Pharaoh was worried that Abraham had lied to him, God still blessed him. So many accounts. Now, if I might just say this, I don't know if any of you have started. This year, one of my New Year resolutions was to go on a Bible reading plan for 1 year. Okay? And it was through gleaning, as I was following the plan, that I was reading all these stories, and it was getting very, very interesting. And you know, little things that you'd never noticed before in it, you now see, and it starts jumping out of you. And That is what the Word of God should do to you. Whenever you expose yourself to the Word of God, it should always make things jump at you, and you start questioning, and you start asking, and you start researching and doing more. And that's how this little sharing came about, from just the interesting way that even though Lot was not part of the plan, Lot still got blessed by God. Amen? Are we in agreement about that? Now, we move on to this issue with Lot. And he, of course, when Abraham now said, look, you're my brother, I don't want us to fight. We shouldn't be fighting about things like this. We should part amicably. And, you know, just you choose whatever you want. Wherever you want to choose, you choose. And it's interesting that the Bible says that Lot went eastward. He actually went eastward. And basically he looked in one particular direction. And what he could see there, he thought, ah, that place looks nice. It even reminded him of the Garden of Eden. That's what it says there in the Word of God. And he said, yep, that's the one I'm going to take for myself. Whereas when he did that, Abraham said, okay, thank you, bye, see you later, alligator. And that was the end of that association, so to speak, between him and Lot. And of course, the Lord now appears to Abraham and now tells Abraham, everything you see, north, south, east, west, I give unto you. Which actually includes even the area that Lot had also claimed as his own. Okay? Is everybody with me? Now, where am I heading towards? After Lot had left Abraham, the Lord now gave Abraham his own blessings, and he started, even told him again that he's going to be blessed amongst all nations, that even the sands of this, if you could count the sands on the land, that his descendants would be as many as that. And that was a huge blessing. And everybody knows that at this time that Abraham didn't even have a son or didn't have a child from his own loins at that point. Amen? So, of course, this was Abraham moving in faith to say, look, rather than me fight with this Lord, I'm going to let him go because I don't think he's even part of God's plan. You know, and I was imagining to myself, I can imagine if Sarah was nagging him every day and saying, see, your workmen are fighting against his workmen. I told you, let this guy go, but you wouldn't listen to me. Da, 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 da. I'm not saying that that's what she was in. I'm just imagining maybe she was part of that. And because the Bible doesn't even say anything about what she said, but it just says, look, Abraham came to a conclusion that, look, it was time to go. It was time for him to let Lot go. And Lot went. Now, and we all know, if you read on the rest of the passages, what happened to Lot after that. You know, when I was reading this, it actually even got me even more worried. Because I was questioning if, was Lot in Abraham's original plan or was he not? Because after Lot left Abraham, his life went down. Do you agree with me? He moved to Sodom and Gomorrah, which was a nasty place at that time. I mean, they were, sin was like their number one, was like their coat of arms. We live in sin. That was Sodom and Gomorrah. And the Bible stated that he was abducted by some kings during a raid on Sodom and Gomorrah. There was a time when some angels came to the city and Lot entertained them and had them in his place. And the people of Sodom and Gomorrah wanted to do nasty things with them. And they wanted to kill Lot as a result of that. Then, of course, the wrath of God came down on the city and the Lord commanded that he was going to destroy it. And, of course, we remember also, if you've read those passages, Abraham making intercession for Sodom and Gomorrah, that if there was, I think it was 50, 45, 40, it was basically trying to negotiate with God. If he could find 50 righteous men in that land, would he save it? And God said, yeah, I will, if I can find. But he kept on going down. He couldn't find any. Because at that point, I think only Lot was considered to be a righteous man in that land. And of course, because God couldn't find any righteous in there, he totally destroyed the land. And then we also know when Lot and his wife and his two daughters were running away from Sodom and Gomorrah before the destruction, the angel of the Lord specifically told them, don't look back. Don't look back to what you've left behind, but just keep running on towards the city where their salvation was going to be. And of course, we know the story. Lot looked back and she was turned into a pillar of salt. Not good. And of course, after that, then his daughters also committed incest with him and had kids through him, which is just, oh my goodness, it's a no-no. And, you know, Lot just kept on going. So you ask yourself, okay, was he originally in the plan? Was he not supposed to have left Abraham? Or maybe he should never have even started off with Abraham, as in he should have been left in Haran where he and his grandfather had been in the first place. And all that happened to him wouldn't have happened. Now, you're probably wondering, okay, where are you going to with this? You've talked about Lot, you've talked about Abraham, you're talking about Abraham. As we start this new year, you know, one thing we always do as human beings, on maybe like the 31st of December or the 1st of January, you always come up with a piece of paper and you start writing your New Year resolutions about what you want to do and how you want to do them and, you know, where you want to see yourself at the end of the year. And, you know, I'm not even going to start telling you what my resolutions are, but, yeah, I've got quite a few of them. This week, I went to the gym at 6:30 in the morning on Tuesday. And I couldn't believe the amount of people I saw in the gym there. I thought, my goodness, they're taking these resolutions really seriously. There were like almost like 30 people there at 6:30 in the morning on a Tuesday morning. I'm like, wow, these people are really, man, these resolutions are on fire, man, blazing. But I'm here to say this as a child of God, if we've written out resolutions and there's no God component in it, then I beseech you by the mercy of God to please go back and rewrite your resolutions. Amen. Thank you for that. One person is listening. Please go back and rewrite those resolutions if there's no God component in it. And I mean, I can say with humility that yes, a lot of my resolutions had to do with God and what I wanted to start doing for God and what I needed to do in Christ in terms of my growth, my spirituality, things that I just need to clean up. Now, one thing for sure in my resolutions, and I believe some of you probably have it, is what is that Lot factor in your life? What is that thing that has been in your life that needs to now leave so that you can get to the next place where God wants you to be? What is that thing that is hindering your move or your walk with God? What is that thing that, it may not even be a bad thing, but it's something that is questionable for you. Not for everybody else, but for you. What is that thing that, or what is that person or thing or situation or work or career? I don't know what it is, and I'm not here to come and tell anybody how to live their lives, but there might be that thing that is a lot in your life, and it's if I may say, cramping your space or cramping God's space in your life. Because we could see from Abraham's account here with Lot that his herdsmen and Lot's herdsmen were arguing. And I'm sure Abraham had better things to do than to start settling little squabbles and squibbles like that. I mean, it's like sometimes our kids argue at home about the most silliest thing. And you're like, as their father, you're like, I don't even want to hear about it. I don't even want to be the judge of that. Because it's just so silly what you're arguing about. And you just want to tell him, please, just go away. Go and meet your mom. Because you don't have time for little squabbles. And I can imagine maybe Abraham had that issue in his heart as well. That, why are my herdsmen, why are my workers fighting against them? I'm not even the one giving them problems. It's them that are creating problems amongst themselves. And, you know, as we start this new year, I don't know what even Pastor Philip preached 2 or 3 weeks ago, but I'm just saying this, as we start this new year and we're making resolutions and we're making plans and we're looking to do things for God as an individual, as a family and as a church, that we need to start taking stock of things that are a lot in our lives. That, I mean, some of us, it might just be stuff, it might be things, it might be possessions, it might be things that even God has blessed us with. Amen. And we need to start cleaning out or taking stock of the things that we need and we don't need and associations that we need to cut ourselves off from and things that we need to do to start cleaning out our lifestyles so that we can get to that place, get to that promised land where God has called us to. And I believe each one of us has a call and has promises upon their lives that God has given them. Amen. Now, I remember my mom used to, my mom, God bless her, she had 4 boys and 1 girl. And I'm sure I've told you this, my first brother is very seriously autistic. My second brother, when he was, I'm talking about at a particular stage in our lives, probably this is about in the 1980s, my older brother was not great in school. He had so many girlfriends. He was a DJ at parties. He used to sneak out in my mom's car without permission. Then there was my third brother who was trying to copy my older brother. And, you know, he was just equally as naughty and as silly. And then there was little me who just tried to do everything that was wrong also and was naughty, fell into drainages, cut his head and everything that was just not supposed to be. And, you know, my mother always used to say, this is my lot. She used to say, this is my lot. It's just my cross and I'm going to have to carry it for the rest of my life. And, you know, I used to feel, oh, if it's your lot, then you can just tell them to all go. Just tell all the kids to get out of the house. I mean, and I'll be honest with you, there was times where she felt like going, as in, because she didn't have a fantastic relationship with my dad, and my dad did some things that were not right and all that. And, you know, I have two other siblings that are not from my mom, so that would just tell you a lot about that background. And there was a lot of times when she was pushed to the wall, and she could actually have, she had the chance to walk away, but I believe the promises of God kept her, thank you. And she stood her ground, and now she's enjoying the fruits of that labor, of not casting us out to the wolves or whatever it is. And that was her lot, in a sense. And I look at myself today now, and I ask myself, okay, what are the things I need to get rid of? What are the things that are cramping God's style in my life, that things that are not beneficial to me as a child of God? And, you know, all of us will probably have some things. I mean, for some of us, we may get home this afternoon after church. After eating lunch, you get home, you open the door, and you see the thing right there. That's the thing that God wants you to get rid of. I don't know. Don't say I'm talking to you, right? I've not been to your house. I don't know what it is. For some of you, you might press the remote of your garage and the thing opens up, and then right there is the thing that God wants you to get rid of. You know, when I was thinking of this sermon, I was going in my head, and there are a few things in our home that my wife would be like, yes, praise God, that we need to get rid of. I'm just going to put this out there. Does anybody need a lawnmower? No, seriously, I'm not joking. We've got 2, and we don't have any grass in the house. We used to have grass, and then we changed it to synthetic turf. Now we've got 2 lawnmowers that are just a lot in our house. So if anybody needs, please see me after the service, and I'll gladly get it all serviced, get it all firing up properly, and I can even deliver it to your place if you want. That is one of the things that we have to get rid of. There's a lot of stuff that, yeah, encumbers you and cramps your style. I mean, I'll be honest with you. Last year, and I'm saying this so that I can actually do something about it, I signed up for, the younger people will understand it. The older people, if you don't understand it, it's okay. I signed up for a Netflix account. Oh, they're laughing. Netflix is this online download thing where you can catch up with movies and stuff and TV programs. You know, I just signed, no, Apple gave it to me 1 month free. And I gave them my credit card, big mistake, and I didn't cancel it after that. And you know, and sometimes you'd see this program and you're like, oh, I don't know, that looks nice. Okay, let me watch it. And then you watch the first episode and the second and the third, and you can do that all in one night, I tell you. I'm saying this, I'm being open to you. That has to go. So I'm going to cancel my Netflix account. Next week when I come to church, ask me, have I canceled it? And I'll tell you, yes, I have. That is a lot in my life. That is something that, I mean, I could be spending time in the Word of God or listening to pastor's sermons or reading something much more beneficial rather than spending time. I mean, even though it's seemingly, yeah, wholesome, I'm like, one of my favorites was the FBI files, talking about how the FBI in the U.S. solved a lot of cases. And I'm always intrigued, and I love those kind of things. But I was, oh my goodness, sometimes I would spend 5 hours in the night, and you're like, what is wrong with you? My wife was asking. That has got to go. Praise God. I haven't used the Netflix account in the last month, I think. So, I mean, why keep it if I'm not going to use it? So, it is going to go. Praise God. And there might be things like that in your own lives that are cramping you, that are taking up time from you. Some of these things are even things that God may have blessed you with at a particular time in your life. And after that, that phase is now over. You now have to go. I believe, Lot being with Abraham must have been helpful for Abraham to some extent. Maybe initially when Abraham didn't have too much livestock, Lot was looking after Abraham's livestock and helping him. And, probably Abraham being a fair man said, okay, if you look after two and one has a kid, then you keep that kid as yours. And then, basically as his wages, and probably things just grew bigger, bigger, bigger. And Abraham in his kindness then helped to be a blessing to Lot. And then, of course, Lot now grew big, but then, of course, grew too big to be with Abraham. And so sometimes those things that we need to get rid of are things that God has blessed us with, but are now becoming a hindrance. Or things that God has given us, or he gave us through other people and stuff like that, have now become an encumbrance to what he wants to do in our lives. And I just say this, you know what it is. You know where it is that you need to get to. You know what it is that you need to get rid of to get to that place that God wants you to take you to. And I say this because being the beginning of the year where we all make New Year resolutions to say we're going to do this, do that. Sometimes it's not just doing things, it's getting rid of things that will get us to where we want to be this year. And I don't know, maybe because I'm getting older or whatever it is, but this year I told myself I really want to make sure whatever I said I'm going to start out doing this year, I'm going to finish it. And maybe it's just the age that is making it more serious for me. In those years, you start off a New Year resolution, and by the 15th of January, you've forgotten what your resolution was. Can't even remember what it is. But maybe as an older person, I know I'm not as old as some people here, and Brother Peter is saying amen, but there's some things I need to, as a man, who my desire is to run after God in every area of my life. There's some things I need to start getting rid of, and there's some things that I just don't, I don't need to have in my life. Amen? So I'm just going to, it's a very short sermon. I don't want to take too much of your time. It's just a simple message to say, look, let us all take stock. The title of the message apparently is, "What is my lot?" ? And you're the only one that would know what it is that God will not have you. Sometimes it could be a friend that is pulling you in the wrong direction away from God. It could be a career that is pulling you away. It could be a situation or work circumstance. Sometimes even the lot could be your bad attitude towards something that God is taking you through, which means you're not probably not being thankful, or you're not going into instances with an attitude of thanksgiving. And God wants you to get rid of that attitude. So you know yourselves, and I believe some of you, maybe God would even appear to you in a dream and tell you this thing needs to go. And please, I beg of you, nobody come and tell me, oh, I think the lot that I'm struggling with is my wife or my husband. God forbid, please, don't even go there. The Bible says clearly that the Lord Jesus hates divorce. So that is not an option. If anything at all that you should be getting rid of, it's probably your ungrateful attitude towards your other half, or your lack of love, or your lack of patience sometimes for the other half. If anything at all, don't come and tell me, oh yeah, I'm going to... No, please, let's not even go there. Don't even try it, please, no. So whatever it is that God is telling you or is ministering to you that needs to go, that is not part of his master plan for your life, it may have been beneficial at some point in your life, but at a later point, it's not beneficial anymore. You yourself, you know what it is. You yourself, you know how God would take control. And you know one thing about Abraham, after he told Lot, he said, look, you choose. Whatever you want, you take. And if you go this way, I'm going to go the other way. If you go that way, I'll go this way. He was the mature one to have faith in God to say, you choose first. I'm sure some people in today's age will say, let me choose, and then whatever is left, you take. Because Abraham was the older one. In some cultures, straight away, I'm the older guy. I decide, you, whatever is left, you take. But Abraham, being the mature and the more spiritual person in that alliance said, you choose, and whatever you take, I'll make sure I go the opposite way. If you go that way, I'll go the other way. If you go this way, I'll go this way. And it shows the maturity that Abraham had. And I guess even for some of us, probably what we need to be asking God is for the faith to let go of those things, to let go of those things that may look like we need, but we don't really need. And first of all, you probably need to pray and ask God for wisdom to tell you what those things are. And then, of course, you need the faith to believe him, that he would meet you at your point of need. You know, I keep telling myself with my two lawnmowers that maybe one day I'll move to a house that has grass, that I would need the lawnmower. No. Just get rid of the lawnmowers. You don't need them. Just let them go. Put them on Gumtree or give them away for free, whatever it is. And there's so many other things like that, spiritually, physically, mentally, that you need to get rid of in your heart and in your lives. And I say, by the grace of God, that the Lord will help us. 2016, we're all going to be able to say we've moved on with God because we've cleaned out our homes, our lives, our minds, our spirits, every single thing that would hinder God's move in our lives. Amen. Shall we rise up, please, to pray? Can I get the musicians to come forward? And if anybody needs prayer to... If anybody is saying, okay, Lord, yep, I know what those things are that I need to get rid of. I know those things that are definitely hindering your move and your work in my life. If you believe you need prayer, you can come forward now or you can come forward at the end of the service. Whichever one you choose. And just even as we stand together now, we will just pray for faith. We pray for God's favor and God's wisdom over us, that in his power, in his mercy, he would hear us. Because, you know, like Abraham, God was still faithful, even though he'd been told to leave his father, his country, his family. But even though he still took Lot, who was not a member of his own immediate family, God was still faithful and God still blessed him. After Abraham, of course, obeyed and did the right thing. So we need to just continue to just believe and trust God to give us the strength. Whatever it is that may be hindering us, whatever it is that may seemingly look good, but we know it's time to let it go. Whatever thing, whatever situation, whatever circumstance, whatever attitude, and that one keeps coming to me, that the attitude, sometimes it's just the way we see things, our unthankful and ungracious hearts, the way we... Maybe because the way we judge other people, God says that has to go. Sometimes it could be the way we murmur or gossip about other people, that has to go. That is not, there's no God in that area of our lives. And I pray that the Lord would help us by his Spirit and teach us what are those things that are hindering us and hindering his move and his life in us. Amen.
Jesus at the center of it all.
Amen.
Jesus at the center of it all. From beginning to the end, it will always be. It's always been you, Jesus.
Jesus at the center of it.
Nothing else. center of my life. Jesus, be the center of my life. From beginning to the end, it will always be.
God, we just thank you, Lord, even as we make you the center of every part of our lives. And Lord, even as you're ministering to each one of us, those things, the stuff, the lots in our lives that are cramping your style in us. Lord, you are the one that knows those things, Lord. The attitudes, the thoughts, Lord, the actions, the things, the situations, the circumstances, the people sometimes that are hindering what you want to do in and through us this year. Lord, I just pray that you give each one of us wisdom on how to wean ourselves from all these things, how to walk away. Lord, if that thing is going to the north, we will go to the south in absolutely opposite directions, oh God. Never turning back. Lord, even as we know that even after Lot left Abraham, Abraham still had to go rescue Lot whenever he got into trouble. He still had to make intercession. And we see that as a man of integrity, a man whose heart was to see people move on. And sometimes it may be to let some kind of friendships just go because they're hindering us. But we will still pray for those people. We will still pray for those people that we need to move away from, or from those situations that we need to move away from. Lord, I'm not here to tell anybody what to do exactly, but Lord, by your Spirit, you would minister to each one of us exactly which areas, which situations, which circumstances, which attitudes need to be dealt with. And I just pray that, Lord, you would give each one of us the power. Lord, even as we've sang, that we will make you the center of it all. Jesus is the center of it all. And once you are sitting on your throne in our hearts, you make all things possible. And I just pray, Holy Spirit, you would empower us. You give us that strength that we need to fulfill your heart's desires for our lives in 2016. Even as, Lord, we've all made resolutions, and for those who haven't made any yet, this is a perfect chance to say, Lord, I'm going to do this, 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 and this. And I just thank you, Lord, for every single person here, from the youngest to the oldest, oh God. Every one of us would have our hearts and our minds stayed on you this year. That, Lord, when we come to December the 31st, 2016, we'll say, wow, Lord, we've done it, but we've done it with you. Lord, I just pray you would strengthen us by your Spirit. You would give us the enablement, the wisdom, the patience, the love, the faith to take those steps of faith, to just trust you. That even though we let go of some things, you've got even greater plans for us. You've got even bigger things for us, more than our eyes could see. Even as your word says that, way greater than our minds could comprehend, or that our eyes have ever seen. And I just pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that each one of us, from the youngest to the oldest, will walk in the destiny that you have planned for us for this year. Lord, even as we face our battles and we enjoy your blessings as well, we will continue to move on with you. We give you thanks and praise, Lord. Anyone in this room that needs you, anyone that knows and has that desire to change and to see things actually change, in the name of Jesus, we pray your power will work in that person's life and in their hearts to see that change come to pass, in the name of Jesus. And Lord, even as we end this service, we just pray that, Lord, your Spirit would be with us, would lead us, would continue to guide us. We do not depart from your presence, O God. But Lord, wherever we go, we are carriers of your presence. And we just pray, Lord, you'd watch over every single one of us, even as we go to work, even as we go to school, even as we interact with family, wherever it is we find ourselves this week. We pray your presence will be with us, your presence, and that you will be the center of all things that we think of, that we say, and that we do. We give you thanks and we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. The service is over. If anybody needs prayer, please feel free to come forward.